Jesus was on the Mount with the Sermon of the Mount, and just keep this in mind, He had undone everything that these religious people had thought that they were doing correctly. They looked at what they were doing and said, compared to other people, I'm certainly in good standing with God, and I certainly must be a candidate for heaven. And here He comes and sits down, and in some very powerful words, begin to show that they really had no understanding of what it was to be a follower of God and have a relationship with God. And in fact, they hardly knew God. Now, He gets off the mountain, and I know this isn't in your text, but read Matthew 9, 1 till we get through, till I'll tell you to stop.
So Jesus quietly got back into the boat and returned to Capernaum. When He arrived, once again the people brought their sick to Him to be healed. One man was totally paralyzed. Jesus, noticing the people's faith in Him, said to the sick man, "Son, don't despair. Your sins are forgiven."
Okay, that's a great one. Go to 8:1.
Which one?
8:1.
Matthew 8:1. Afterward, great crowds followed Jesus everywhere. Even lepers came to pay their respects and worship Him. One such leper said, "Lord, if You will, I know You can cleanse me." And Jesus reached out and touched him and quietly said, "I will, be clean." And instantly the man's leprosy was gone.
Okay, stop there. Now remember, Jesus had just came off the mountain where He had preached one of the most prolific sermons that could ever be preached. And as soon as He came down, here's a leper who desires healing, and he is healed. Now, in that Ron read, what do you think to you is the most important single word in that?
The healing.
Healing?
I will. Willing.
Willing.
Go.
Touch.
Why touch?
Personal.
Yeah. To me, the most beautiful word in that whole story is touch. How long do you think in this man's life had it been before anybody came over and touched him?
Nobody would.
You couldn't even get within 100 feet of a leper. He had to go about hollering, "Unclean." If the wind was blowing in a certain way, there was rules and regulation of where he had to stand, how far away from you he had to stand if the wind was blowing. If a city had walls around it, he could not go inside the city. Now remember, the question is this morning, if we look at the way that Jesus did His ministry, is that the way that we're supposed to do our ministry? And does this have anything to do with bringing the kingdom of God to the people around us? So why do you think that when He came off the mountain, the first act He did was heal a leper, heal a Gentile man's slave, heal Peter's mother-in-law, restore her back to good health, take care of two demoniacs? Why?
He had compassion.
Had compassion? Why didn't He go straight to the temple and say, "Look, my sermon upon the mount did pretty good. I certainly got some people's attention. I certainly raised some good questions. Now, I guess the most prominent thing for me to do is go to the temple in Jerusalem and start a 5-week crusade.
No, he didn't want it that way. He wanted to get more personal with all the people, with the sick, with the tax collectors and everybody like that.
Certainly a slow way to get it done. So the question comes up then, is Jesus inefficient?
The only way to get it done.
Only.
Well, let's if you're looking for long-term effects.
Let me get this right now. Long term. So are you telling me a 5-week crusade at the temple in the middle of Jerusalem is short term?
Well, it's certainly that way was when I was in academy.
But it wouldn't have been personal. A 5-week crusade.
Oh, personal. Man. Personal equals slow.
Well, that's...
He did a 3.5-year crusade.
But the word of mouth would have been faster. And that's what they did. Did you know that Jesus healed?
Well, let me see. There are great marketing people that will spend... What did the Super Bowl ads go for this year? Was it $10 million a minute? Does anybody remember? $2.5 million a minute?
Yeah, 30 seconds.
Of 30 seconds? Well, why didn't they rely on mouth-to-mouth? Or, is that right? Mouth-to-mouth? You sure you want me to go? My only defense is I have 2 abs less teeth and they hurt. What did you say? How was the message to go?
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth. I knew that'd do something with those mouths. Okay. Word of mouth. Why didn't the marketing people rely on word of mouth for their product?
Too slow. They want it now, right now.
Okay.
It's hard to get it going. It's hard to get something going that's word of mouth. They talk now about going viral, things going viral. It's tricky to set that off.
What's going viral mean?
Going viral, sorry. Means that people communicate with one another.
Oh,
it spreads
okay.
Like virus.
Okay. Well, sure seems like a 5-week crusade would have been kind of a little bit faster. Because they had heard something about him. He certainly had got their attention. Why wouldn't he go and do preaching publicly?
Target audience.
Maybe. A target audience. What does that mean?
It really would not demonstrate the character of God. The message would not... I mean, you can't give the message that way. The character of God is not revealed in that way.
Okay. All right.
Jesus also wanted to act, interact personally with the sick and the...
Boy, you like that word personally, don't you?
Yes, you do.
Yeah, you do, man. I'll tell you, it's like a tenacious bulldog. We're not going to get away from that word personally. Okay. All right, read the first text I gave you.
Matthew 9:35-38. This was a setup, by the way. Jesus paid little attention to what the Pharisees said, but continued on his way, stopping at all the cities and villages in the area, teaching teaching in the local synagogues.
There he is! Teaching in the synagogue.
Preaching the good news of the kingdom and healing every sickness and disease the people had. Whenever he saw a group of people, his heart was moved with compassion because they seemed so helpless and misled as sheep without a shepherd. At times like these, Jesus would turn to his disciples and say, "The harvest is great, but the laborers are so few. Pray that God will send more laborers to his harvest field."
Hmm. Well, I got the synagogue preaching in. Which one's the most important part of this text?
Compassion teaching.
Pardon?
Compassion.
Why is that, Charles?
It showed that he cared about every individual.
Can't you do that from the pulpit with 5,000 people out there listening to you? Can't you do that on the radio, sending that message all over the world? Can't you do that on TV? What did Jesus say about the harvest? Pardon?
Plentiful.
Plentiful. What does that mean?
A lot of it.
Are you telling me there's a big harvest in Arlington?
Yes.
Do you really believe that?
Yes.
Don't you think we got all we can get already?
No. No way.
You think there's a harvest in Ennis? Why are you starting... I love to pick on you. Anybody wears a purple shirt is can be picked on. Why are you starting in your office? Don't you have bigger dreams?
Got to start somewhere.
But could it be personal?
Have you been calling him all week and talking to him on the phone?
I've been talking about personal.
How do you think Jesus felt as he began to walk through the streets and the roads? And he saw all of these people. What do you think went through his mind?
I think if I was impressed with the other night, or one of the Wednesday nights, was he couldn't help but do. He couldn't. His personality, his makeup to stop and help people. It wasn't like he was trying to demonstrate anything. He was just doing it because he couldn't help but do it.
Okay.
So it's not a matter of what he wanted to do or not want to do. It was just his way. He had to do it because that was what that was the way he was made up.
What was his motive to do it?
To help the person.
Are you sure?
Nothing more than just to help the person.
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
If there's a person who needs help with food or clothing, you come and talk to them about God, they're like, okay, yeah, but you help them with food and clothing, you've reached a need for them, now they're willing to listen to something else you've got to say. You built that relationship with them. You've got to be able to connect with them personally, like I said, personally. Do something that reaches them, touches them, that's their need first.
Too simple. The solution has got to be harder than that. Too simple.
Ernie,
yes.
I'd like to underscore another point that would support what's being said here. In verse 35, it said, preaching in the synagogues, the good news, and healing every sickness and disease the people had. It didn't say healing some of the sick and some of the... I don't know what the other version said. This is a clear word, and hers says every also. I don't know if they all say every.
Every sickness.
I understand they went to the town. Disease. There was nobody left in the town.
He could not pass by somebody that needed help physically.
And what was that motive?
Compassion. Show them.
I have none. Have compassion. How about membership?
This is what God does.
Pardon?
This is what God does.
Are you sure?
Just read it.
And he wanted to save.
Pardon?
He wanted to save people that were sick, were that needed.
Do you think that everyone he healed saw the light?
No.
Do you think of everyone that he met, their needs saw the light?
No.
We don't know.
Then why did he do it?
They all had family, they all had friends. They all saw what was going on.
I thought that if we're supposed to do the same work today that Jesus did, I thought that there was something that had to happen to show that we are successful in doing God's work.
We're just messengers.
Messengers to do what?
Just to plant a seed. It is His job to make that grow. If we're part of the prayer meeting, in His office there, it'll be His patients more than likely that come first. That seed is being planted. Whether or not they become Adventists, if they develop a relationship with Christ, even if their children or other family members, because of what they see going on with them, that's what it's all about. God has to do the work. We just plant the seed. He makes it grow. He helps people to see.
Ernie, I think that doing God's work has always been has been compared to something that you do, an act, some sort of organized outward action, and Christ demonstrated that doing the work of the Father was exactly what you're describing. He touched people, He healed people, and if anything, that's more of what is what we need to focus on rather than the synagogue meetings and the organ, you know, the teachers and the great evangelists of the time would have wanted to see from Jesus.
Okay. All right. Read our next text.
Matthew 11:4-5. Jesus said, "Stay here for a while and watch what I'm doing, and then go and tell John what you saw. You'll see the blind receiving their sight, the lame walking, lepers being healed, and the deaf having their hearing restored. In fact, the dead girl has already been raised, and others who will die will be raised also." And all the time the good news is being preached, even to the most neglected.
Okay, here's the stalwart of Christianity at that time, Mr. John the Baptist, chosen by God, blessed by God, inspired by God, had the privilege of baptizing the Messiah, had the privilege of being the forerunner, and he's stuck in prison, and he begins to wonder, have I messed up here? Shows you how tolerant our Heavenly Father is, that He allows us to go through thought processes. And He calls His disciples and He says, go ask this guy if he's really the Messiah. Is he the one? And so they come, and he says to Jesus, what should I tell John the Baptist? Are you the Messiah? Read it again. Here's the message that he sends back to John.
Jesus said, stay here for a while and watch what I'm doing, and then go and tell John what you saw. You'll see the blind receiving their sight, the lame walking, lepers being healed, and the deaf having their hearing restored. In fact, the dead girl has already been raised, and others who will die will be raised also. And all the time, the good news is being preached, even to the most neglected.
Okay. What's the most important part of that passage?
Watch. See what's happening.
See what all the things he has done. This can't be just a human being. This definitely is the Messiah.
Okay. Did he miss a golden opportunity? Did Jesus miss a golden opportunity? Why couldn't he have said, come down to the temple and listen to what I preach about? Or he could have said, let me go over some fundamental doctrines with you and you go back and carry these answers to John. Why didn't he do that?
I don't think it was so much about what he did as who he was. And I think it's true with us today. It's not so much what we do, but who we are and how God...
You're just like this nice lady over here. It's too simple. It's got to be more difficult than that. Yes.
You know, I think it's equally, like you said, they could preach to them or they could give them doctrine or whatever. I think we're equally in danger if we look at that and say, my, look at all the miraculous power that he had. And I really love what she was saying. That wasn't it at all, only the heart of a compassionate God.
Yes. Yeah, see.
About the person.
See, I personal. Oh, no, no. Have another convert. Yeah, to me, the most important part of that passage is the last line. He preached what?
Good news.
Good news to who?
Even
to the lowest one of the people. The world is looking for good news. Now they brought it up. I didn't. You got something, and I'm certainly not critical, but you got something with a bunch of beasts on it. What's the good news?
That we know more than you do.
He said it, Rick. I didn't say that. The world is looking for good news. Next one.
Luke 4:16-22. He also went to his hometown of Nazareth, and as his boyhood habit had been, he attended the synagogue on the Sabbath. On this particular Sabbath, the elders asked him to give the scripture reading. The scheduled reading for the day was from Isaiah the prophet. When they handed him the scroll, he unrolled it and found the place where it said, "The Spirit's power is with me because he has chosen me to preach good news to those who are poor, to heal those with broken hearts, to deliver those who are prisoners of sin, to give sight to those who can't see, to set people free from their heavy burdens, and to announce that this is the year of the Lord." When he finished, he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the priest in charge, and sat down. Everyone in the synagogue sat there spellbound by the meaning he had brought to the words of the prophecy by the way he read them. Then he stood up and said, "This scripture is being fulfilled before your very eyes, and what you heard is true." The people were thrilled by what he had read and marveled at the gracious words he spoke.
Okay, that's far enough. Did you get the picture? Doesn't God have a beautiful sense of humor? the irony. They said to Jesus, "Hey, you've been coming here for a long time. Welcome back. You're a visitor. Would you have our scripture reading today?" And so Jesus stands up and he reads Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. That foretells what the Messiah will do when he comes. And by the way, does it foretell what we're supposed to do before the Messiah comes the second time? So read what he says. Back to Matthew, the one where Luke 4.
Luke 4.
Yeah, read. Here's what Jesus quotes from Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. Keep in mind, is this what we're supposed to be doing in the last days?
When they handed him the scroll, he unrolled it and found the place where it said, "The Spirit's power is with me because he has chosen me to preach good news to those who are poor, to heal those with broken hearts, to deliver those who are prisoners of sin, to give sight to those who can't see, to set people free from their heavy burdens, and to announce that this is the year of the Lord."
Okay. Now, why were they amazed at the way he read this?
He used authority.
Used authority.
He was the fulfillment of it.
It was him. Reading about himself, realizing and knowing that he was the Messiah, that this was his duty. Can you imagine how he read that with thankfulness to God, with the understanding of his mission? No wonder it moved him. This was why he was there. And notice what it said. To take people that are heavy burden and do what with them? Add more burdens? Heap on more things on them? Point out more problems? No. To take those burdens off. How about those that were captives? To set them free. How about those that were heartbroken?
Comfort them.
To comfort and heal them. No wonder he read this with such passion, with such care. This is him. Now, when they wrote, Luke wrote the book of Acts, after Jesus had gone to heaven, he had an opportunity to sum up Jesus' entire 3-year ministry. He had an opportunity to write down what Jesus' ministry was, and why he was here, and what he tried to prove. Read Acts.
Acts 10, 37 and 38. "You must have heard about the great things Jesus did during his ministry, beginning in Galilee when John the Baptist was preaching in Judea, and how from there his ministry spread throughout the land of Israel. God poured out his Spirit on Jesus when he was still a boy growing up in Nazareth. As a man, he went everywhere doing good, healing the sick, and even casting out demons, because God's power was with him."
Okay. Everywhere he went, he laid hold of the same power that we can lay hold to. Why, when did he come off the mount and the first person he saw that was written about was a leper, and he reached out and touched him? You can't do that in a big group. You can't do that over a telephone. You can't do that from the pulpit. You can't do that through television and radio. Salvation is a one-on-one. Coincidence? He comes off one of the greatest sermons, if not the greatest sermon preached, and he touches a leper. He takes a Gentile who was even unworthy to be in his presence, who had a sick slave, which made things more unworthy. And he says, you don't even have to come to my house. Healing. He goes to his good friend Peter's house, and his mother-in-law is not doing good, and he cures her of her fever. He calms the storm. He sees two demoniacs, and he heals them. You see, salvation is a one-on-one experience. And why did Jesus do that? You're exactly correct. He wanted to get across one message. You matter. Not him, you. And then to Charles, he says, you matter. Not this group, you. By the way, this story is a common thread through the entire 66 books of the Bible. It never changes. For those that are coming to Revelation on Friday nights, what conclusions are we beginning to see? It's us he cares about. It's us he cares about. People that get something in the mail, they brought it up. I didn't bring it up. Man, does that say we care? If you're going through a divorce and you open that up, does that say we care? If you're sick and you desire healing, does that say we care? If you're hungry and you need food, what a simple way to do the gospel. Who, imagine feeding them and not expecting anything out of it. That's the hard part. That's the hard part. We used to do five-day smoking. I did it with Leroy and Sandy a long time ago. But what was the hook that we were after?
Get them in.
Who laughed? Well, don't laugh.
I thought we were supposed to be fishers of men.
See?
That's got a hook to it.
Well, we did have a hook. You see, it would be different. Well, I can only speak for myself. I can speak for you, Leroy. I don't know about Sandy. Did we have a hook or not?
That's right.
Thank you. Can't speak for Sandy. She might not have had a hook. We did. Never crossed her mind, per se, to go give one just to relieve people of the physical problems they could have by continuing smoking. Do you see the difference? Did Jesus, every person he come into contact, did he want them to spend eternity with him?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Why? Because they care. He cared. They counted.
Every single individual comes with him.
Yes. But he took and met their needs where they were. And if they needed healing, he healed them. If they needed to be their heart were broke, he brought them comfort. He brought them peace. He did it because that's who he is. He's full of compassion. He's full of caring. He would have come to this earth and went through everything if Ron Combs was the only person in the entire universe that would accept him. He would have done it. And after he took care of those needs, then with, remember one of the words said how gracious his words were. Luke 4, how gracious His words were. When's the last time you've heard a sermon out of the book of Revelation that was gracious? Jesus came because that's who He is. He went to the people because that's who He is. He came to each individual, took care of them because it pained Him to see someone He had created be in pain or agony, and He took care of that. And then we're told in the ministry of healing, after He won their confidence, He met them where they were, then He gave them 27 Bible studies. Is that the way it goes?
No, 28.
28.
Forget that now.
Maybe we got down.
28 today. Don't haven't checked since last night. No. He said, most beautiful words He can say, follow Me. Follow Me. You see, we forget those words. Because if you follow Jesus, where will that lead you? Where will that lead you if you follow Jesus?
Eternal life.
Ultimately, it will lead you to what your Heavenly Father is like. And to know Him is what? Eternal life. Why? Because as you behold Him, as you look at Him, as He works with you and you work with Him, you become more and more and more like Him. You see, we want to do the trappings. And then we want to say, now here are some things that you need to understand if you want to be part of our church. And if they look at it and say, thank you very much, I choose not to, then we say, almost had them. Almost had them. Jesus never said those words. He just said, follow Me. Follow Me. What's our message to the world? Is it going to be through TV, radio? Different ways? Rob and I, we have a ministry. Yes, we do preach it from the pulpit. But I'm telling you, it's about the only message in our estimation. And we certainly believe that God's given to us. Is simply to illuminate how much God cares and loves and who He is. That's our only job, is to bring them to God and let them see how He cares. God will do the rest. Father in heaven, powerful scriptures. Everywhere you went, yes, you did heal. Yes, you did forgive sins. But over and over it says that You are out among even the lowest, even the poor, people that You loved, people that You were gracious. Everywhere You met people, they got a glimpse of how much You cared and how much the Father cared. May our message to the city of Arlington, to our families, be the same. God cares. You matter. Get to know Him. In Jesus' name, amen.